Come on, who's glad to be in the house of the Lord on Serve Team Sunday? You have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 22. And we're going to continue this morning in our series, 10-Year Challenge. And the idea behind 10-Year Challenge, the inspiration for 10-Year Challenge, was this thing that went viral on social media in the last few months, where people were posting images of themselves from today and then one from about 10 years ago. And I began just seeing all this happen. My friends, my family, celebrities were posting these things. And, you know, sometimes they were really encouraging and it was celebratory. And other times it was evidence of some people that had gone through some difficult seasons, some trials, some challenges, some unforeseen or unexpected things in their life. And so I was watching this and the Holy Spirit just began to just speak to me and just download that there really is a reality for every one of us. There really is a reality for every one of you. That 10 days, 10 weeks, 10 months, 10 years from now, your life will look different. And in every area of your life, your own heart, your mind, your marriage, your family, the things that God has called you to put your hands to, in every area of your life, there are really only three true outcomes. That you'll be closer to God, that you'll be further from Him, that you will have drifted from Him, or that you'll be stuck where you are today. And I've challenged us all throughout this series that there's really only one, as far as I'm concerned. For me, for my marriage, for my family, for this church, for you, for your marriage, for your family, for the things that God's called you to do and be, there's really only one acceptable outcome, and that's that we be closer to God, amen? More connected, more aware of His word, His will, His heart, His ways for our life. So I'm challenging us that that's the invitation of God for every one of us. But it requires us to respond. It requires us to consider living differently. If we want different results, sometimes there's some things that are going to have to change. It requires us to make decisions towards the goal, the vision, the dream that God has for our life. I've said it this way frequently. The pathway to your life vision is paved with daily decision. And God has a vision. He has a dream. Jeremiah 29 says it's a good dream. It's a good plan. It's a future that's filled with hope. That's the kind of dream that God has for you. And I've encouraged you that if you find yourself today, if you would look at the image, the snapshot that you would take today, and it would capture a difficult, a painful moment, a trying season, I've encouraged you that you're in good company. Because every person that God used throughout the Word of God went through a season like that. If you turn to one page in the life of Moses or David or Peter, you could find a difficult season, a trying moment, even a failure or a setback. Don't let the enemy cause you to stay stuck in that chapter of your life. Don't let the enemy take a Polaroid of your difficult chapter in your marriage, of the difficult season in your finances, and hold it up before you and say, see, God can never use you. God's finished with you. How could God ever use you? I'm telling you that the God of that this whole Bible is filled with a God who interacts with real people, who have real problems, real challenges, real adversity, real setbacks, real failures, but who are willing to turn those things over to a real God who offers real forgiveness, real redemption, real restoration, real hope, real life, real empowerment to begin to step towards and into the purposes and the plans that God has for you and for me. Come on, somebody ought to say a good amen. Amen. So this morning, I want to talk to you. It's a special Sunday. It's Serve Team Sunday. And come on, can I echo what Beth and Eddie were saying and encourage every one of you to just begin right now, just decide right now to stay for lunch and hear a little bit more about how you can connect and begin to serve and begin to make a difference in what God is doing and desires to continue to do here at Rev City Church. And I've challenged us that one of the things that we need to do to begin to move forward towards the things that God has for us is be willing to redefine what success looks like. And we've visited frequently Romans 12 that says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And there's a world that says that how much money you can accrue. There's a world that says your title, your status, your position. There's a world that says your comfort level, your own personal security, your own well-being is the way to measure success. And I've challenged us that in God's economy, in God's kingdom, the way he measures success is through faithfulness and obedience. Stewardship. Who's God called you to be? What has God put in your hand? What has he entrusted you with? Your life, your mind, your gifts, your calling, your wife, your husband, your kids, your job, your church, your city. Where has he placed you? What's he put in your hand? That the pathway to the new, the next, the thing that's 10 days, 10 weeks, 10 months, 10 years from now, the pathway towards that thing, the new, the next, the more of God is always faithfulness with the now of God. Amen. And so we've talked about redefining success, obedience and faithfulness, stewardship. But this morning I want to remind us that Jesus actually gave us an even more simple to understand measure of success. Are you there? Did I ask you to turn to Luke chapter 22 already? Yes. Come on, if you're there, say I'm there. Yes. And reading at verse 24, it says, a dispute also arose among them as to which of them was to be considered the greatest. And Jesus said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors or rulers. But you are not to be like that. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, don't be like that. Don't be like that. It's not a good look for you. You are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I among you am the one who serves. He's saying in the world system, the one that's considered great, the one that's considered successful is the one that is sitting at the table and being served. But he says, I've come to flip the script. I've come to change the way that you think. I've come to change the way that you measure success. I've come to say that the greatest among you is the one who serves. And he says, you are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. There's a lot to unpack in this scripture. He says, I confer on you a kingdom. He says, you'll oversee, you'll have authority, you'll be great. But he says, the pathway to that place is by serving. The posture that gets you there is through serving. And God doesn't despise greatness. He says, I confer on you a kingdom. Did you see what he said? He said, just as my Father has given me a kingdom, I'm giving one to you. And God's called you to greatness. But the pathway to achieve greatness in God's economy and in God's kingdom is not the pattern of the world. And he's saying right here, I've called you to something great. I've called you. I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. I'm giving you authority. I'm calling you to be great. I'm calling you to rule. I'm calling you to influence a culture. I'm calling you to make a difference. But the pathway to accomplishing this in my kingdom is going to be going low and serving and serving and serving. The greatest among you shall serve. Listen, it doesn't matter what you are called to do. It doesn't matter what you do. In the church or in the marketplace or in the workplace, it doesn't matter what you're called to do. The pathway to success, according to God, is serving. It doesn't matter if you're selling cars, fixing teeth, cleaning floors, teaching or coaching or raising kids, running a household. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Taking orders for chicken nuggets? It's my pleasure to take this order. It doesn't matter what you're called to do. And it doesn't matter. Come on, we need to see this differently. It doesn't matter if you are mopping the floor or delivering the keynote address. It doesn't matter if you are opening and unlocking the doors or you're performing the surgery. It doesn't matter. Everything that God's called you to do. The pathway to greatness is to serve. The blessing of the kingdom of God follows those that serve. In this passage, he says, and isn't it crazy that they were arguing amongst themselves about who would be the greatest? Come on. If you feel like God can't use you, you ought to just read about the people that God used all throughout the Bible. There were some first-class knuckleheads. So if you've allowed the enemy to come and say, God can't use you, you ought to just read about some of the people that God used. And they're arguing in this passage about who was to be the greatest. They're arguing amongst themselves. And Jesus says, listen, you got it all wrong. The greatest among you shall serve. Come on, every area of our lives. This is Serve Team Sunday, and we're celebrating, we're honoring, and we're inviting you to discover what it means to come and to partner with us and to show up and to serve and to make a way so that people can show up and begin to experience and encounter the love of God, the goodness of God, the invitation of the Father to receive salvation, a new start, a fresh start, newness of life. We're inviting you this morning to come and discover what that looks like for you in this church. But I'm telling you, it's true in every area of our lives. In business, I recently was listening to a leadership podcast. I try to do that often, and I was listening to a Q&A with the founder of a German gentleman who was a co-founder of the Ritz-Carlton Hotel. And he talked about how the reason that what created the distinction for the Ritz-Carlton Hotel and the reason that he says it was successful was not that they were smarter than the rest, or that they were better than the rest, or that they had a smarter strategy. He said the reason that we were successful in building the Ritz-Carlton is that we made a commitment to provide an extraordinary customer service experience. I'm telling you, this is a principle that travels and affects every area of our life. The blessing of God follows. That the context of that scripture, they're arguing about who's the greatest. Jesus says, come on, I'm flipping the script. The greatest among you shall be the ones that serve. And then he closes by saying, I confer a kingdom and you'll rule and you'll have authority. The blessing of God, the authority of God, the influence that God wants you to have, it follows a commitment to serve. In the workplace, come on, we're having Chick-fil-A. Who's excited about Chick-fil-A on a Sunday? In the workplace. I mean, it's so true. How many of you know that there's an extraordinary, relative to other fast food experiences, there is an extraordinary customer service experience that you get at Chick-fil-A, right? Amen. I mean, it's like, can I get some more of that Chick-fil-A sauce? It's my pleasure, with pleasure. And you just tried that at Burger King. It doesn't go that way. It's my pleasure. Listen, I'm just curious about this. I wonder if that attitude, it's my pleasure, I wonder if the teenage employees take that home with them. Anyone know? You know, you work there, right? So when mom says, take out the trash, what's your response?
It's true, I just say my pleasure.
You say it's my pleasure? Oh, hey. Unload the dishwasher. Unload the dishwasher. It's my pleasure? Take out the trash?
And it's not something that they teach you to say. It's something that when you're working around people like that, it just grows on you.
Wow. Did you guys hear that? He said it's not even that they teach you to say it. He said when you're working around people who are already saying it, it just begins to grow on you. Wow. That culture is powerful. Come on. Why don't you just come up here and finish this message? Listen, that's the culture that I want us to build together at Rev City Church. People summon the courage to come and to fight you guys for a parking spot out on our crowded parking lot. They summon the courage to walk forward towards a new building that they've never been in and experience people that they've never met. And what's it going to be like? I heard they raise their hands. I heard they clap and shout. This is going to be different. And I want when they begin to just, even from the parking lot, from the parking lot to the pulpit, I want them to experience and to begin to encounter the presence of God, the love of God, that they begin to see. There's something different about these people. There's a love that I just discern, even in the way that they're holding the door open for me, in the way that they're welcoming me, in the way that they're serving me donuts and coffee, the way that they're receiving me when I'm checking in my children to their children's ministry, the way that they're seating me to find a space in a crowded sanctuary. There's something different about these people, and I'm telling you what it is. It's the love of God. It's the love of God. And can I encourage you with something? God's doing something special at Rev City. He is. Listen, that's good. Every week, people are responding to the call for salvation. Every Sunday, people are giving their lives to Jesus Christ. Yeah, come on, if we're going to clap for anything, that is a good thing to clap for. Listen, no one can take credit for it, but I'm trying to give you guys credit for it that are opening the doors and ministering to people out in the foyer. Did you know? I believe it with all my heart. I cannot do. I have a function. I have a role God has called me to play. But it does not start here. It starts there. It starts in the parking lot. It starts at the children's check-in counter. It starts in the foyer when you're greeting and handing out bulletins. It starts with holding open the door. And everything that's going into to those encounters is building up to the moment where we give the opportunity and the invitation to receive salvation through Jesus Christ. It's softening their hearts. It's reminding them of some things. It's revealing some things. It's speaking some things over them. It's preparing the soil of their heart to receive the Word of God. Come on, you make a difference. Those of you that serve, those of you that are going this morning after the service, come and hear more about how you can serve, how you can show up and help us with the parking lot, how you can show up and help us to usher people to their seats, how you can show up and help us to greet people at the front door, how you can come and serve in our children's ministry and help to check people in and then help to take care of those precious little babies, how you can come alongside of us and help us to disciple and raise up our children to know God and know who He is and know more about who He's called and made possible for them to be and to become through Jesus Christ, if they'll live their life according to God's Word, that He's really called them to be world changers for Him. You make a difference. And listen, I want to invite you. We ordered lunch in faith for every one of you today. And I don't care if you're new to God. I don't care if you're new to Rev City. I don't care if you feel like maybe you're disqualified or whatever. You stay and eat lunch with us and hear more about how you can connect and serve. We need you. God has called you to be part of what He's doing here. And we should not take it for granted. We should not take it for granted that God is growing this place and God is adding to us in number. God is growing us in spirit and in number. And much of that growth is happening as people are giving their lives to Jesus for the first time or rededicating themselves to Him. Let's not take it for granted, church. It's not happening everywhere. I've been in ministry for 18 years. It's not happening everywhere. It hasn't happened all throughout my ministry in the places where I've served. Let's not take it for granted. And let's also do this. Let's not limit that God, what God is already doing is the width and breadth of what He desires to do. He desires to do more. I believe that the best is yet to come. It's why we're going to two services on Sunday, April 14th. We're making room. I have an intense desire to see Rev City be a welcoming place. I have an intense desire to see Rev City be an evangelistic church that is clearly preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God loved them so much that He sent Jesus to pay the price for their sin and make a way that they can have a new start, a fresh life, what the Bible calls being born again. And so we're making room at our table. We're asking you guys, would you come alongside of us? And would you help us? Would you say in this season when we're making this push, we're renovating our building and we're launching the two services, count me in, sign me up, how can I help? And that's what today is all about, that you would go to one of these three meetings. That you would, right here in this sanctuary, there will be a meeting that covers all the areas of first impressions, what we call first impressions. Welcoming people on the parking lot, holding the door open and greeting people, ushering people to their seats and helping them to know where to go. Serving the coffee and the donuts that people, come on, those things don't just show up magically out there in the foyer. We can take it for granted. People show up early. And they serve and they make that coffee and they put those donuts on platters and they bring them out. Would you come and would you help us? There will be a meeting right across this hall in the fellowship hall where Gabrielle Isom and her leaders will be speaking about children's ministry. Come on, one of the most important things we do as a church is minister to our children and our youth. Maybe you have a passion for kids or maybe you're just willing to come and hear more about it. Would you come and would you listen and would you hear the passion and the vision that we have for child care, not to just be, for children's ministry rather, not to just be child care for our adult services, but to be an atmosphere and an environment where our kids from youngest to oldest are being impacted. They're encountering, they're experiencing the love of God. They're encountering and experiencing the presence of God. They're being trained up and raised up to know God and to begin to discover His call, His purpose, His dream, His destiny for their lives. There'll be a meeting right across this hall in the library that's right out here, out there to your right for the media team that Nathan Hammer oversees. And if you have an interest in helping out with media, tomorrow morning, the audiovisual company from Oklahoma City is going to be here, and they're going to begin to install all of our new audiovisual capabilities. And we're expanding that, and we're improving upon it so that we can have the best worship experience possible, and so that we can also capture the anointing of our worship team and capture the spirit of our messages in a better way and begin to get it out into our community in a way that extends a lifeline to people who need a lifeline whose name is Jesus. If you, in any area, you're a photographer or a videographer, or you have experience with computers or technology or audio or visual equipment, or maybe you just have a willingness to just come to any one of those three areas and just begin to learn more about how to connect, would you come to one of those meetings and hear more about how to serve? It's part of the culture that we desire to have at Rev City Church. Listen, we don't go to church, we are the church. Something begins to happen when we begin to realize this. Something begins to shift in our lives and in the culture and the spirit of our church and what God's able to do to as we partner with Him. When we begin to really get this in our heart, not just know it in our head, but really believe it in our heart, that there's a difference between going to church and attending a church and showing up and partnering to build the church. There's a difference between attending church and being the church. Listen, God didn't just save you to get you to heaven. That's good news. I'm grateful for it as much as the next guy. But God saved you to make a difference. God graced you with a purpose. God's called you. There's a gift. There's a grace upon your life that He intends to connect to the body of Christ. He intends to connect to the local church. He intends to see you lending it towards His purposes and making a difference. Listen, the greatest among you shall serve. In every area of our life, this is the approach that God can bless. In business, in the workplace. Young people, hear me this morning. In a generation that is rebelling and resisting, those are key words that I hear all the time. What if you made a decision to not rebel or resist, but you made a decision instead to be respectful, responsible, reverent, and ready? What if you made a decision and saying, instead of rebelling, instead of resisting, I'm going to be respectful, reverent, responsible, and I'm going to be ready? And in other words, you can sum all that up and say, I'm going to serve. I'm going to serve God's purpose for my life. I'm going to serve the people that God puts in my path. Can I tell you, young people, that's the thing, maybe more than any other thing, that will begin to set you apart from those around you. If you'll adopt that and you'll say, that's the heart of God. That's the call of God on my life. I'm not going to go the way that, come on, the Bible says that the way to destruction is broad, but the way to life is narrow. And you got to be willing to swim against the stream a little bit, and you got to be willing to say, I'm not going to go with the flow. My generation is rebelling and resisting, but I'm going to be respectful. Towards my elders, I'm going to be reverent. Towards my God, I'm going to be responsible with the things that God's called me to do. I'm going to be ready. I'm going to prepare myself for the thing that God has called me to. Come on, young people, if you'll make that commitment, if you'll make that response, come on, just let me see your hands. Just say that. I want to be that person. Come on, young people. I want to be that young person. Thank you, Lord. Come on, can we give them a hand, church? In your marriage, those of you who are married, serve. Serve one another. Come on, the greatest marriages are those who make a commitment to try to outserve one another. To try to outserve one another. Come on, it's the way that we dated one another. What do you want to do? No, what do you want to do? Where do you want to eat? No, where do you want to eat? Oh, I probably shouldn't go here. But you know I'm going to. Pastor Mike is over here. He's like, do it, do it. He's like that voice on this shoulder right here, you know. You know, the XO Marriage Conference was last weekend. It was awesome. It was amazing. It was impactful. And I'm trying not to look at my wife right now. So one of the things, we had table time. We had interaction in the middle of the, in between the sessions. It was awesome to just get to know people and kind of share some things. And one of the things that they asked was, it was kind of humorously, they said, at least I think it was supposed to be humorous, they said, share about one of your worst fights that you ever had. And so I have to admit that Amity and I got into a fight at a marriage conference trying to decide what our worst fight has ever been. Now that's irony right there, right? What made me think of it is because what I proposed our greatest fight was, or our silliest fight, maybe that's what it was, just silliest fight that you had ever had. What I proposed was, I think it's when we fight over where we're going to go to dinner. Like when we are driving, you know, it's like, where do you want to go? We're out on a date, mind you. And it's like somehow the conversation about where to go to dinner turns into a, what I like to call a marital disagreement. But here's what happens is I really do just want to go where she wants to go. Oh, I'm looking at her. And she'll say, no, I don't care. You choose. And I say, no, you choose. What sounds good to you? Come on, what type of food sounds good to you? How many of you have played that game? You know, it's like, what type of food? Then we'll decide the place, you know. And where she says, no, I really don't care. And I'll say, all right, how about Chinese? And she'll say, no, anything but that. You said you didn't care. I tried to be decisive. I tried to take us to Encore downtown and eat some spicy Chinese food. And she said, no, anything but that. Listen, in your marriage, outserve one another. Outserve one another. Come on, she likes fish, you like steak. It ought to sound like this. Honey, I stopped at the store and I bought some salmon. Well, honey, I stopped at the store and I bought some thick, juicy ribeyes. Well, no, we're going to have fish because you like salmon better. No, we're going to have steak. Come on. Just have them both. There's a thing called surf and turf. Outserve one another. Come on, we are least like God when we're thinking of ourselves. And we're putting our own interests first. And we are most like Him when we are trying to outserve. When we're thinking of others. When we're putting others ahead of ourselves. Listen, Jesus is our example. We tend to think of ourselves first. Come on, you know it's true. When you guys take a picture with other people, who's the first person you look at? It's not going on Instagram unless I look good in it, right? There's 12 other people in this picture, but I'm looking at myself first. And if I'm doing that kind of weird looking wink thing, or you know, or something's out of place, you know, that thing is not going on social media. We tend to think of ourselves first. Jesus was our example. He was the most successful person in the history of the world. He said, but among you, they were arguing again. There's another example of this, Matthew chapter 20. And they're arguing amongst themselves about who will be the greatest. And in verse 26, he says, among you it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. We're redefining success through this series, and Jesus was the most successful person of all time. The measure of success is not how much can I accrue, how much can I gather, how high can I go. The measure of success, according to Jesus' standard right here, was how much of my life can I give away. In my relationships, in my marriage, in my workplace, in my church, am I a giver? Am I a taker? Am I a consumer or am I a producer? I want to thank you for serving. Thank you for answering the call this morning that the Holy Spirit is extending to us to, in this season where God is adding to us and we're responding and we're adding this service and we're trusting God to allow us and grace us to continue to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. For being willing, again, whether you're new to this church, regardless of where you are, come and hear more about how you can come and partner with us to build God's kingdom. There's a blessing that follows servanthood. God's doing something special. God's doing something unique here at Rev City. He's giving us an invitation to be a part of it. Come on, can I encourage you with something? We need to see something differently. There's a lot of things in our life that we tend to think that we have to do. And we'd be blessed if we began to flip that script and we began to say, I don't have to, I get to. I don't have to show up and serve early. I get to. I don't have to get up and go to my job. I get to. I don't have to sacrifice on behalf of my spouse or my kids or whatever, my own preferences. I get to. What in your life maybe has the enemy come and he's kind of deceived you to just think about, oh, I have to do that, when really God has extended an invitation to you. It's something that you get to do. It's something that every morning we begin to just see this differently. Come on, I just believe that this is a life that God can bless. This is the life that we begin to lead intentionally. We begin to make daily decisions, and we'll look up 10 weeks, 10 months, 10 years from now. And we will have broken free from conforming to the standard of the world. Our mind will begin to have been renewed, and we will be transformed. If we will serve God and we will serve His people, if we will love God and we will love His people, if we will show up and step up and speak out and serve God and love God and serve His people and love His people, we'll look back 10 days, 10 weeks, 10 months, 10 years from now, and I promise you, I don't care. I don't know about your bank account. I don't know about all those other things. But I promise you, if we'll focus on giving our life away, serving God and serving people, we will be a success. You will be a success. Your marriage will be blessed. Your family will be blessed. This church will be blessed. This city will look different. When a church rallies and unites around a vision, come on, there's a big vision. When the elders reached out to me and we began interacting, they said, God's called us to have a vision to transform the spiritual atmosphere of our city. There's an aggression that we have at Rev City. We want to be hyper-evangelistic. We want to see the lost out in Lawrence, people that are currently far from God, come to know Him. God's doing something special. God's doing something unique here. The invitation is for us to come alongside and say, I don't have to show up and serve. I don't have to show up early and hold the door. I don't have to show up and rock babies. I don't have to show up and seat people. I get to do this. Come on, church, can you just think about that a moment? Think about it. God could have done it any way that He chose to do. But He came and He died once for all of us, and then He entrusted to us the message of the gospel. And He called us, many members of one body, different gifts, different functions, different graces, to come together in unity and to serve as one body. And to represent the heart of the Father and to speak and communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a privilege it is. What a blessing it is. We don't have to, we get to. Come on, would you stand to your feet this morning? Right there where you are, if this message in some way in your life, in your marriage, in your family, in your workplace, in your church, is resonating with your spirit, you feel like God is reminding you of something, or maybe He's revealing or deepening something in your life. Maybe you've been caught up and kind of swept up into what the world determines and defines as success. And today the Holy Spirit is just reminding you of some things. Come on, if that's you, right where you stand, again, in any area of your life, I just want to ask you to respond to the Lord this morning by just lifting up your hands, just like this. It's just a posture of doing two things. One, receiving from God, and another is extending something and leaving something in this place that you don't want to take with you back into your life at the conclusion of our service. Come on, just lift your hands before the Lord. Now, right where you stand, people of God, just begin to thank the Lord for whatever it is He's doing in your life. Just begin to thank the Lord for whatever it is He's reminding you of. Begin to thank the Lord for what He's reminding you to have gratitude for. Begin to thank the Lord for maybe some of those places where maybe you've kind of gotten caught up and I have to go to work or I have to show up and serve. And just thank the Lord. Say, Lord, thank You for just reminding me. It's a privilege to get to do any of those things. Every morning when I wake up, I count it a blessing. I remind myself, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I'll be glad in it. And I thank You that I have those responsibilities. I thank You. I begin to see them not as obligations, but as invitations. To go and to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. To go and to shine the light of Jesus to a world that is dark and desperately needs to hear the gospel. And not just hear it, but see it lived out before them. Lord, we thank You. And then the most important thing we ever do, before we close in praise here is to give you the opportunity to respond to that free gift of salvation whose name is Jesus. The invitation of a good heavenly Father who loved you so much, who loves you so much that he sent his one and only Son to lay down his life to pay the price for every sin, every failure, every shortcoming, that it would be cleansed. The Bible says, removed as far as the east is from the west. That's the heart of God. Come on, he's chasing after you today. You're not here by accident. God is wooing you with his love today. And if that's you, maybe you're a prodigal son or daughter, you once, or you grew up in the church, or you once served God and knew God, but maybe you've drifted and strayed away. Today, the heart of the Father is calling you back home. Or maybe you're here today and you've never made that commitment. You've never made that decision to receive in faith the grace of God that we could never earn but is freely offered through Jesus Christ. If that's you this morning, I want to ask you to respond. Come on, if that's you, just raise up your hand. That's what I'm going to ask you to do today. Raise up your hand. Just say, that's me. I'm coming home today. That's me. I'm making that commitment today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for these precious hands that represent precious people, your sons and daughters. Thank you, Lord, you're calling them home. Thank you, God, you're forgiving them right here and right now. Thank you, Lord, for this response. It's a hand going in the air, but it represents a heart turning to God and being made new. Thank you, Lord. Come on, this decision that you're making is eternally significant, and it's far-reaching. Something new happens today, a new life, a fresh start. Thank you, Lord. Come on, many hands went up today in response to that call, and we're going to pray with you. I want you to repeat after me, but at Rev City, we're a family, and we pray this together, and it's good because it reminds us of our need for a Savior. So come on, with everything in our heart today, let's pray it together. Father, in Jesus' name, I recognize my need for a Savior, and I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price I could not pay, to make a way that I might have a fresh start and a new life. I give you that life, and I place my trust in you, and I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. And come on, let the people of God put their hands together for what God did today. Amen, 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 amen. Come on, team, lead us.